Thank you, Voices of Praise, for leading us in worship. And today I want to give you a little glimpse into what we're talking about when we say we're going to preach about rediscovering Jesus. You know, it just seems like everybody these days is trying to get on the bandwagon of Jesus. Politicians, everyone. When you look at the movies and such movies as The Passion of Christ or The Da Vinci Code, they use topics that centered around Jesus. And then you hear certain people of the academic field, when they're talking about Jesus, they refer to him as the historical Jesus. Now, whenever you hear that term, historical Jesus, that's a buzzword, that's a catchword, a catchphrase. They're not talking about our Jesus. They're talking about a man who came and he had good teachings. He might have even been a prophet, but they certainly don't claim that he's the Savior of the world. They certainly don't claim that he's the creator of heaven and earth. They're not talking about our Jesus. So I find it good just ever so often for myself to be reminded, who is Jesus? What is he about? Why is it so special for me to follow him and to give my whole life to him? And I hope every person in this room today has done that. It is my desire that you have given your life to him completely, that you've been to that place in your life where you realize your sin of unbelief and you confess that sin to the Lord. You said, Lord, I believe that you are God, and I believe that you died for my sin, and on the third day you arose. It's very important in our belief system to couple those two things together. They're like two sides of one coin. The death of Christ on the cross and the resurrection of Christ from the grave. Folks, that's how we believe. That's how we believe in Christ. That we know that he's the Redeemer and we know that he lives. Amen. Now, y'all, I know y'all are quiet, but when I preach, I'd appreciate it if you would show me that you're awake, and an occasional amen which just simply means, that's right. All you're saying is, that's right. If I say something that's wrong, just say, that's wrong. Okay? So, if you say amen or praise the Lord or even stand up and shout, it will not scare me. Okay? I'd like to see things break out in church to where the Holy Spirit came down and maybe two or three people did get scared. We need some of that. Our society needs that. Our culture needs a great awakening. And God is able to bring that to us. Well, I'm going to talk about a personal encounter with Jesus. And as I said, I hope everyone in this room has had that personal encounter at least once, that you have come to salvation. But you know, we have many encounters with Jesus along the way. And so we're going to look at one of these encounters in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. If you will, stand with me in honor of reading the Word of God. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes. The standard King James says that I may touch the hem of his garment. I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter," and when he says "daughter" there, he's not putting her down. He's actually saying, "Daughter of Israel." He's saying that she's a child of God. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Thank you. You can be seated. The key point for our sermon today is Jesus is always open to receive us and to help us in our time of need. Jesus is without question the most compelling person ever to walk the earth. More good has been done in his name than any other name, in accordance with his teachings. And sadly, some bad has been done in his name that we don't like that that's there, but it is. He is certainly the most recognizable name in history, but most who have heard him, including those who grew up in church, know very little about him. So as we look at this narrative in chapter 5, here's the summary of the story that's centered around this. Jesus was by the Sea of Galilee, surrounded by a large crowd, when a rich and influential religious leader approached him. He said, "My daughter is dying. Please come and heal her." And Jesus went with him. The crowd, probably realizing they were about to witness another miracle, they went along too. Pressing in on him, the Bible says. Mark's gospel goes on to tell how Jesus went to the religious leader's home and raised his daughter from the dead. Bringing a dead girl back to life is an amazing miracle. And it tells us something about the power that was at work in Jesus' ministry. But I think this parenthetical story of the woman with the issue of blood gives us even greater insight into who Jesus really is and what he is about. The religious leader was an important man. Going to his house and healing his daughter was high-profile ministry, the kind that brings increased respect and credibility from the place where Jesus most needed it, the religious community. But when Jesus healed the woman who could not stop her bleeding, we see a wonderful side of Jesus that should speak to us all. The first point I want to bring out this morning is Jesus has an open door for everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your family background is. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your level of education is. It doesn't matter where you are in society. It just doesn't matter. None of that matters. Jesus died for all. Amen. And as he died for all, that is the greatest blessing that we can ever have. Because we, at one time or another, were sinners without Christ, and the Holy Spirit worked in our hearts, and we came to know Christ as Savior and Lord, and that placed us in the family of God. That placed us in his local church, where we could serve side by side with some of the greatest folks on the face of the earth. And the blessings just keep going. And what we're experiencing in this life is just a taste of what we're going to get. Because when we get to heaven, it's going to be from now on the best that God has to offer. And I do grieve with families when they see a loved one passing and that loved one goes to be with Jesus. But I always try to remind them at the funeral or when I'm talking to them later, we're going to see them again. That's the hope that we have, folks. The world doesn't have that hope. We have the hope of the resurrection. We ought to be walking around with a grin on our face all the time. We ought to have people say, "What are you grinning about?" And you say, "Jesus." Wow, that's a good testimony. That's a good opener. I'm grinning about Jesus. Well, why are you grinning about Jesus? Because he saved my soul. And he's given me all these gifts. Don't you want this same Jesus? That's a testimony. This woman was neither powerful nor influential. She had no money. She had spent all of her money, it says in the text. She spent all of her money on her issue of blood. Yet when she touched Jesus, everything for him came to a standstill. Do you hear that? I'm talking about the creator of the universe. When she touched Jesus, everything for Jesus came to a standstill. Can you fathom that? The creator and sustainer of the universe, this little lady touched him and everything stood still for him. Yeah, the world kept on rotating, the earth kept on rotating, the sun was where it was, and the stars were still planted where they are. All that was happening, but at that moment, he focused on that lady. Well, he wouldn't do that for me. Why not? Why wouldn't he? He'll do that for every child of God. We are special. He's God. He's able to do that. He can attend to your personal need at that moment and still run the universe. Well, you say, "I don't understand that." Not supposed to. He's God. If we knew how he could do that, then we'd be God, and we're not going to be God, despite what the Mormons say. When we look at this, we see the lady had obstacles, didn't she? What was her obstacle to getting to Jesus? The crowd. And as you see this unfolding, we see that Jesus has this open door policy. In another scripture, Matthew 9, 10 through 13, it says this, "And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' But when he heard this, he said, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick.'" God, and learn what this means. "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." He has an open door policy. That open door policy is to all sinners. This is how Jesus relates to people. He's completely accessible. We can approach Jesus anytime, day or night. We have unlimited access to the creator of the universe. Our memory verse for this week, the book of Hebrews says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We don't have to cower down to approach Jesus. My son-in-law and daughter have a little dachshund, and her name's Molly. And little Molly, she's just as sweet as she can be. If you tell her to go to bed, she goes to bed. If you tell her you got to go outside to do, you know, she goes outside and does, you know. She just listens to you. She's just so sweet. Well, if Molly is going the wrong way and you want her to go another way, the best thing to do is just pick her up and take her. Because sometimes she gets a little stubborn. And so when you say no, Molly, the minute you say no, she flips on her back like this. And she's cowered down and she's waiting for you to pick her up and take her. Now that's how Molly approaches us in that kind of situation. As believers, we never have to approach Jesus that way. He says, come boldly. Come boldly. It doesn't mean with arrogance. It doesn't mean like we're a know-it-all. It doesn't mean like we're worth it. It doesn't mean, well, we deserve it. It doesn't mean any of those things. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Folks, when the Word of God says something, it means it. There's no other translation for that. So we can come boldly to the throne of grace with our petitions and intercessions, letting our requests be made known. Just as Jesus stopped what he was doing to give his full attention to this woman, he'll give his full attention to you and me today. Secondly, the second point I see, his arms are wide open. He's got an open door policy, but also his arms are wide open. There's a reason why this woman was afraid of being found out. Her issue of blood. It not only threatened her life and health, but it made her unclean. I mentioned obstacles a little bit. This is another obstacle she has along the way. The fact, well, there's probably at least three things. The first is the crowd. The second, she was ceremonially unclean. She had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. The third thing is she's a woman in Israel. All three of those things she thinks are obstacles to coming to Jesus. Do you have any obstacles in your life preventing you from coming to him and naming him as Savior? Or even as a believer, do you have obstacles in your life today that's causing you not to have a close walk with Jesus? It could be unconfessed sin of some kind. You could have pride, envy, jealousy, unforgiveness, all kinds of things. You name it. Anything that is divergent from the will of God is sin. So if there's any sin in your life, you've got obstacles to come into Christ. But just like this woman, Jesus did not hold back his grace just because she had obstacles. And thank God this woman came to Jesus. You say, why did Jesus put her through that? Why didn't he just walk over there and heal her? Why did he make her come through the crowd? Why did he make her think about being unclean? Well, that's some good questions. But Jesus chose to do it this way. It took boldness for her to leave home and mingle with the crowd that day just for a chance to be near Jesus. But she'd heard how this man could and would heal the unclean. People like lepers and demoniacs. It's why Mark 3:10 says, for he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. So she worked her way through the multitude, got as close as she could, touched his robe, and what? Immediately, verse 29 says, the fountain of her blood was dried, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Praise Jesus. He'll do that for us. If you got obstacles in your way, if it's unconfessed sin, confess it. And that obstacle's gone. Because you need to make your way to Jesus. In just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to make your way to Jesus right here. In just a few moments, I'm going to ask you, if you're lost, I'm going to ask you to come to Jesus for salvation. And there'll be people here who'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you and to share scriptures with you. If you're a believer, I'm going to ask you to come and approach Jesus and stand with Jesus and let Him take whatever is in your life, whatever baggage you brought in here today, whatever problem you may have in your life, whatever situation that needs to be handled, you can bring that and leave it with Jesus today and go out free, fresh, ready to serve the Lord. Just like the woman in our story, there was a man who wasn't certain as to how he might approach Jesus. His name was Zacchaeus. You remember that man, don't you? There's a children's song about Zacchaeus. If you wanted to hear it, I'd have to have my wife come up and sing it because she won't let me sing in public. But Zacchaeus climbed up the sycamore tree to catch a glimpse of the Lord. The Lord told him to come down because he was going to his house that day. How did that work out? Well, Zacchaeus said to the Lord at his house, he said, look, when he received the Lord and realized the Lord had saved him, he said, look, half my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, get this, for the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, we have the purpose for Jesus' public ministry to come and seek out the lost, save their soul. That's the Jesus that we serve. Back to the story. Here's something important that I want you to understand about Jesus. This woman was ritually unclean. In other words, if she tried to go to the synagogue, she would not be able to enter. If she tried to go to the temple, she would not be able to enter. But her interaction with Jesus was not going to be prevented by her being unclean. She could have allowed her uncleanness to prevent her from coming to Jesus. She could have given in to the obstacle. But she did not. You know, sometimes the altar call is given and you stand back there and you hold on to the pew in front of you and preachers talk about people's knuckles turning white. They really do. They hold on to that pew in front of them so tight that it cuts off the blood flow to the knuckles. You're holding on to something because you know the Holy Spirit's calling. This woman did not let an obstacle interrupt her. When she touched Jesus, her impurity didn't defile him. When she touched Jesus, his purity cleansed her. You get that? We cannot defile Jesus, but his purity can cleanse us. You say, oh, no, I'm too bad of a sinner. I've done too much. I don't even deserve to be in church. There's a lot of people who don't come to church because they say, I'll come to church when I get some things straightened out. They never get things straightened out because they don't take it to Jesus. And where else should a sinner be on a Sunday morning or a Tuesday afternoon? Best place would be God's house. You say, well, there's not many people here on Tuesday. That's okay. There's somebody there to talk to them. And they can approach Jesus. They can approach Jesus anywhere. John chapter 1, he was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of the blood or of the will or of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. We're born of God. You're never too unclean to reach out and touch Jesus. No matter what spiritual condition you are in, Jesus can cleanse you through and through. Here's a little statement I want to give you, a little short one. His greatness is better than our badness. His goodness is greater than our badness. If you don't get anything else, get that. We can never be too bad for Jesus to cleanse us. Thirdly, come to Him with an open heart. I think it's interesting that the Bible says immediately she was healed. Yet that's not the end of the story. Jesus sensed that power had gone out of him, and he stopped to find out who had touched him. The disciple said, "You see the people crowding against you, and you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus was persistent about it. Verse 32. I want you to realize that he has opened the door for you, and he receives you with open arms because he wants you to open your heart to him. That's how you come to Jesus, whether it's for salvation or whether it's to find a closer walk. You open your heart to him. Over the years, I've learned that women will usually share their heart a lot faster than men do. But men, I'm talking to you too. You know what, men? Real men love Jesus. Amen. Ladies, say amen to that. Real men love Jesus. See, the ladies in your life, that's what they're looking for. They just want a real man who loves Jesus. Jesus does all the work. He saves you. He fills you. You can be that man of God. You can be that woman of God. When Jesus, or with Jesus, it's all about the personal encounter. Following him means being in a relationship with him. A relationship. You know, that's what I ask people when I want to find out if they're saved. I'll ask them, "Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?" I learned a long time ago that I could cut to the chase and save a lot of words by just asking that question. Because see, there's only two ways to answer that question. Yes, I have a relationship. Or no, I don't have a relationship. And I found that people are honest. If they don't have a relationship with Jesus, they'll tell you. I'm talking about lost people. They'll tell you the truth. And when they tell you, then you ask them, "Can I tell you my story?" And you proceed to give them your personal testimony. And from there, hopefully the Holy Spirit will take that and lead into their coming to Christ as well. In verse 34, he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." It's centered in faith. This is not simply a word of dismissal. It's a word of complete restoration. "Go your way, daughter. You're healed." So she went away from that crowd knowing that her body was well. But more than that, she knew that she had had an encounter with the Lord Himself. What a day that was for her. The healing is secondary to the personal encounter. That's the real focus of the ministry of Jesus. In Hebrews 4, he tells us to come boldly, but in that, he knows what we're going through. He knows. In Hebrews 4, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He knows our weakness. Some of you have been touched by God one or more times. You've been touched by Him at salvation. You've been touched by Him at other times. Maybe you had a physical sickness. Maybe you had a relationship that had gone awry, and the Lord stepped in and salvaged that relationship. There's any number of ways that the Lord has touched you, but right now in your life today, are you able to say, I'm walking closely with Him? I have a close walk with Jesus. I spend time in the Word. I spend time in prayer. I spend time with God's people and learning from them and fellowshipping with them. I spend time telling others about Christ. I'm abiding in Christ every day. Can you say that? If not, you need a personal encounter today. God wants to answer our prayers. He wants to do great things in our lives. He wants to reveal His power to us. Sometimes people will say, where is God? I'm praying, but I don't know where God is. He's not answering my prayers. Maybe He's waiting for you to get more personal. Maybe He's just tired of you using Him as a closet God. When you need God, you call on God. When you're through with Him, you put Him back in the closet. He's not like some broom or mop. No, God is living within the believer. God is with you every day. And we need to respect that and realize that. What He really is wanting to have is a personal encounter. I love Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He wants us to have that relationship. He wants us to have that personal encounter every day. Some application to this I'll just share with you. First of all, can you say, I will connect personally with Jesus as I identify with Him and His grace for me? Secondly, I will not let life's obstacles prevent me from having a personal encounter with Jesus. Third, I realize that I can never be too unclean to approach Jesus. And finally, I will seek the Lord daily as I spend time in His Word and in prayer. John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but have eternal life. To rediscover Jesus, reconnect with Him. If you're there today, if you need to reconnect with Him, you can do it. Every day, every moment of every day, in every situation, you need to seek Him out. When the doctor comes in and says the tests weren't good, we seek Him out. When we have a bump up on the freeway, we pray to God, don't we? Like the other night, we heard somebody firing a gun near our house. We were seeking God that night. We also called the sheriff's department. It wouldn't have been a pretty sight to see my son-in-law out in the front yard with a gun. So we said, don't do that. We'll call the sheriff's department. But there's times in our lives that we seek the Lord out. But He wants us to seek Him all the time. Every second of every day. And as we pray, read the Word, meditate on the Word. Those are ways that we're seeking Him. And we need to be listening all the time. Always listening. Look for the personal encounter with Christ. His door is always open. His arms are ready to receive you. Open your heart to His presence in your life. And remember the key point of the message. Jesus is always open to receive us and to help us in our time of need. I know a lot of people connected to our church, and they have a time of need right now, and they're seeking God. They're having personal encounters with God. They're saying, I want people to pray with me, and I myself am praying to God. But if you're here today, and maybe you've not told anyone, I've got a need, why don't you come tell Jesus? He's here. You say, where is He? He's within all of us. He lives in every believer. His Spirit is here. The Spirit of God who leads us, who comforts us. Sometimes He has to discipline us. That same Spirit is here today as well. Would you bow your heads as we pray? And after I pray, I want to ask you, come, have a personal encounter with Christ. If you want to receive Christ as your Savior or Lord, tell me about that, and I'll get someone to pray with you. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. We thank You that You shed Your perfect blood for us, and by Your grace, we are healed. You're so merciful in all Your doings with us. And today, Lord, I pray for that individual who just simply needs to come and lay everything before You, whatever it may be. Give them the courage, like this woman, to press through the obstacles and to come to Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Come right now.
Sing with us this morning. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. Believe Him and all will be well. to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Oh soul, are you
attention today. And I just got one reminder for the transition team: try to be here between 2:30 and 2:45 this afternoon in the fellowship hall. We get here a little bit early, we can start right on time, and because we have a lot of work to do in 2 hours. And so I appreciate everybody who's stepped forth and said they're going to serve on the transition team. Okay, Shannon, you have anything?
Good. We'll close in a word of prayer.
Okay.
All right. Let's do that together. Father, thank you for our time. And we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all that you've given to us through our life and the grace and the mercy that he gives. And Lord, I pray that you just bless our time today. Thank you for allowing us to be here, the privilege of being here. Bless this transition team meeting this afternoon. God, may you use it in our church mightily. And we just thank you again. Use us throughout this week again to bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus we pray. Amen.